tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 387 of the Toonami Escape podcast. It's a two-man show tonight. It's me and C. Kohler on Sunday evening because reasons.
Because of video game reasons.
Because of video games. Don't talk to me next week or the next 2 weeks because I'm in a Dontrail hole.
Playing that Final Fantasy 14.
Yes, I am. C. Kohler, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I don't really have a whole lot to say. I'm editing a video earlier, and then I'm doing this. So, but yeah, Sunday night, that's kind of nice. We get it out a little earlier this week. So,
a little bit. Seda said he should be back next week, or at least we'll try to be. So,
yeah.
But anyway, let's get right into it with the lineup news. So, when Zom 100 ends, it's getting replaced by Two Piece for like 2 weeks until there's a Superman marathon on the 27th. Of July. And then after that, who knows?
Yeah, after that, I guess.
Smells like My Hero Academia to me.
Yes, that seems very likely. I agree. What episode are they currently at?
In MHA?
Yeah, as far as like airing on like Crunchyroll or whatever.
Oh, I do.
Is it like episode 10 or something?
No, actually, it started late this season, so I don't think so.
Okay. I always kind of wonder like how far behind Toonami is from the regular release.
Let's see. List of episodes. It's season 7. Yeah, episode 8 just came out today.
Okay. That sounds about right, yeah.
So it's about a month behind.
Oh, wait, but there's still going to be a few more weeks before... And you know what's funny? I'm talking like it's going to happen. I don't know that. I mean, if it does happen, it might be like 10 episodes behind or something like that.
I mean, it does seem like they're like delaying for a thing to get the dub out for, right?
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with it. I know nothing about what's going on in MHA currently. So,
like in the manga currently.
Not really. No, I kind of stopped following it.
Well, it's like it's the epilogue.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they already defeated the main villain.
And yeah, then, they kicked his ass, and now it's epilogue time.
But as far as the manga or the anime, I don't even remember where we left off. So
remember, we left off with the big cliffhanger of the big American hero is coming.
Oh yes. Okay, I do kind of want to see that. If that is coming to Toonami, I think I would.
Shit got real bad in Japan, but now America is coming to save the day.
Yes, yeah. And I did see that in the manga. I read those chapters, so.
But is there going to be another new show? They'll have to replace two things.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope so.
They'll be replacing Superman and Zom after the Superman marathon.
Okay. I'm always of the opinion that like it's fine, get an MHA. It's just like a no brainer or whatever. But also like get something weird. Like I would be cool with something unexpected, even if it was an older show or something.
I would be happy with like MHA and I don't know. Just give me something. Give me something.
Oh, and this is again not specifically about Toonami, but something that I think is interesting anime related is that it was announced that they are going to do Rama 1/2 like they've done the recent Yurusei Yatsura series. So that's coming.
I don't think we get that either.
I don't think we would get it if only because it's like a thing where they've already got the rights somewhere else or something. But I think it would be interesting if they did get it.
Well, let's. How about we get right into Sailor Moon?
Hey.
Sailor Moon Episode 4, Learn How to Be Skinny from Usagi. In this episode, it's the classic anime thing of, oh no, I ate one almond and now I'm fat.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Luna drawing the picture of fat Usagi, though. This is you in 6 months.
One of the things I liked, too, was, like, there was a scene where, like, the classmate girls were all hanging out outside. And then, like, there was, like, this chubby girl, little overweight, not super overweight or anything, but, like, she's a little chubbier than the other girls. And she was like, oh, you know how hard it is to, you know, constantly go on diets and stuff. And then the other three girls in a very, like, polite manner are like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there was this, like, other tall girl, and I forget what her deal was. I think it was about exercising. She didn't know anything about it. And then, like, the chubby girl was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, she didn't. I don't know. It's like there was a very, like, girl way they were acting, where they were trying to be, like.
Ah, yes. Girl man, girl behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was very, like, of that, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm outside of the sphere of that, but I just could see it. Like, they're just all trying to be, like, polite and not say anything.
Bad at small talk. Anyway, Jadeite's evil plans were sufficiently hidden in the previous three episodes, but now he's just gone straight to, I'ma invite teenage girls that come to my secret, to my fake gym, down into the basement and have them get into the alien life force sucking cocoon pods.
Yeah, it's,
and they're not even, like, disguised or anything. No. It's just what they obviously are.
None of the girls are like, this looks like some kind of biomechanical. What is this?
Like, none, do you want to be skinny or not? It's like, okay, I'll get in the freaky pod.
They all want to be skinny, that is for sure.
Episode 10 is just Jadeite going, okay, Queen Beryl, I created a political party called Jaguars Eating People's Faces, and it looks like we're going to win the next election.
Yeah, and I have to say this quote, which you do have in your notes here. I want to say this. He goes, ah, the young and succulent energy of girls.
Hello, police. Yeah,
that police. Was a creepy line.
Yes, this man over. Yes, police, this man right over here.
Succulent. Oh my god. Ew. I know what he means. So they're siphoning life energy from them. That's, you know.
Do you think Tuxedo Mask every day wakes up, puts on his best like Sunday best, goes out on the town specifically to find Usagi and shit on her?
Wait, when he's Tuxedo Mask or when he's like,
when he's the guy who's definitely Tuxedo Mask.
No, I
is, like, know. Wearing his glasses and a full suit, and he's like, haha, it's Usagi, you suck. Okay, I'm going home. That was my whole plan for the day.
I think the joke is that they just run into each other, or he's keeping an eye on her, maybe. But no, he doesn't wear like a,
he didn't even help in this episode.
No, which is great.
It was mostly like Luna that. Just going. Luna was just going like, Usagi, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, fucking Luna kind of went off in this episode, straight up ready to claw the shit out of her.
Luna, you chose nice. This person!
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, you just had to say, hey, fighting burns calories.
Yes. Yeah, it is a good way to lose weight, apparently. That other guy, I wrote his name down this time. His name is Motoki. He's the arcade guy. He also showed up she had like a dream sequence with him.
He's going to be evil, right?
I don't know. He's not been shown to be anything other than this arcade guy.
But like,
he doesn't
he's not Tuxedo Mask. So what, why is he here?
Here's my guess. I really honestly don't know. But my guess is that he's a red herring. He's a red herring to make you think, oh, this is the guy. And it's not wrong. This is the guy that Usagi likes, right? I think you're supposed to be like, oh, they're going to get together when, you know, the real long play is, of course, it's going to be the other guy, the guy she hates.
The one who shits on her every time they meet.
And I was going to say, like, I think he's just like, I think the joke is they just run into each other and then he gives her shit. But yeah, anyway. Also, something worth noting here, Jadeite didn't actually lose either.
He got some energy.
Yeah. I mean, he effectively did what he set out to do.
How much energy can he get from Usagi's homeroom teacher over and over and over again?
I don't know. I don't even understand what I don't understand how it works at all. This is like trying to calculate the energy they get from Monsters Incorporated when the kids scream. It's like, I don't know. They fill up those canisters. So I'm assuming it's something like that. I'm assuming they're going to need 100 episodes worth of girl energy to revive their evil master or whatever it is they're doing.
Just 100 episodes of tricking girls into various suck machines.
Yeah. It is great, though, like, and you kind of, you talked about this in the first episode, but, you know, it's in the series more than I remember, is that just kind of how bumbling and how much of a wimp and everything that Usagi is. Like, it's just, it's really fun to have her be the heroine, and she gets the job done, but she just does it in a very comedic and fun way. Oh, and there was another shot of Sailor V in this episode too.
Well, how about some Superman?
You mean some Kara?
My Adventures with Kara, episode 16, The Machine Who Would Be Empire. Damn, this episode ruled. This is the best episode of the show.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's so good. Like, we get adorable Clark and Kara space snowball fights.
We did get that.
We get Kara having an adorable shrine to places she's been and definitely didn't genocide, and also Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, she straight up Sundaries Jimmy here.
She knew him for like an afternoon.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, like, she hasn't really known anyone. So I don't blame her.
Also love the way where she's talking and then suddenly we'll just go into like brainwash mode and go like, you too can become model Kryptonian citizen.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a little crazy at the beginning of this episode. Like, straight up, like, you know, kind of giving the crazy eyes and being a little creepy.
Don't worry. Just one look at Jimmy Olsen's smiling face will break her out of it. As it does at the end of the episode.
Yes.
I do have to say, is like, okay, shot-wise, we went from her finding Brainiac with Clark, And then she gets like re-brainwashed, or like just like, let's refresh that brainwashing a bit. Mm-hmm. And then smash cut to, she's like sitting at a table, and then she has the picture of Jimmy in her hand already, and it's like, well, where did that come from? Like, when did you go get that? That's not where that was.
So is the implication here is that like up until now, she really hasn't had the concept of emotional attachment like the Earthlings do. And then now that's like, that's the way to break Brainiac's control is to have.
I think
like,
it's just that Jimmy is just that much of a temptation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think the same thing's going to happen with Clark at some point. Like, he wasn't straight up hypnotized in this episode, but I think that's coming.
We're going to get the role reversal where it's going to be Kara trying to break him out of it.
Yeah, or even Lois, you know, Lois and Jimmy, who showed up in the very last shot of the show.
Showed up in the spaceship that they got from question mark, probably Jimmy's bank account, which is now at like negative a billion.
Well, no, there was that guy. He was in the...
Oh, yeah, Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, he was there.
Or Monster Malaw, I don't know which.
He's that guy that was in that
one. If I had a nickel for every talking gorilla villain from DC Comics, I would have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
Well, you would have way more than two. From what I understand, there are like...
There's like a secret gorilla civilization.
No, there's also like literally like 10, I don't know, 10's an exaggeration, but there's like... 5 or 6 unique DC gorilla characters, from what I understand.
I know of the two.
Yeah, they're apparently back like in the 50s and 60s, there was like, for some reason, a gorilla boom on DC Comics. But anyway.
Bizarre.
This guy shows up. So I'm thinking he probably got in contact with him to get the ship. Because, I mean, they literally like warp there. Humans don't have warp travel, so.
Remember these guys from season one?
Hmm?
Remember these guys from season one?
Yeah.
Also, Clark fought like a Green Lantern, Hawk Girl, and one of the villains from one of Darkseid's villains.
Oh, yeah. The Terror. What are they called?
Parademon.
Parademon. That looked like might have been a parademon. Yeah. And the Hawk Woman, she was. Did you notice that she was actually pretty tall? Like taller than Clark. She was actually pretty big for
a rip that planet of Amazonian bird ladies.
Yeah, that place is screwed.
That's truly a tragedy. When did they have the time while getting murdered by Kara to make a big wall mural about how they got murdered by Kara?
I don't know. That's a good question. But that did trigger her memories of her being basically a Viltrumite.
Oh no, I'm Omni-Man. Fuck.
I mean, it's almost at the point now where I feel like the people who are working on the writing this season watched Invincible and were like, okay.
That makes sense. Also, Brainiac's really good.
Hmm. In what way?
Just as a villain, really, really good.
I love,
like, this show has not had the greatest villain so far, and here's Brainiac to, like, raise the bar a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I just like he's voiced by Michael Emerson, and I think he does a really creepy voice anyway, so it's really good. He's, like, very kind of condescending in the way he talks.
It's also kind of like they fused Brainiac and Zod.
Oh, yeah, well, he did a Neil. He was like, Neil before
it's like,
me.
Okay, yeah, because, like, Zod's thing is, like, Kryptonian Empire. That's not Brainiac's thing, but we're just kind of combining the two characters into a new character called Brainiac.
What I like about this show, too, is that we know, like it was set up last season, that this is just an alternate universe Superman. So they can really do whatever they want. And it's there's no like, oh, this doesn't fit canon. Oh, it's a different timeline or whatever. It's a different universe.
Oh, no, the canon event. Mm.
I just like the idea that, like, yeah, you're right. This is, he's like a surrogate for both Zod and Brainiac here. And that's fine because this is what this universe has. I guess he's called Primus Brainiac. So I'm assuming he's like the core one that used to, he said he ran the planet or something like that.
Yes. Damn, that's rough on Kara. I hope she gets better.
Oh, yeah. I think she will.
Well, don't worry. Her temptation is back.
She's pretty well done. I mean, she's probably the highlight of the episode. That's why I started out by saying that. I mean, like, also her voice actress is doing a great job of kind of like.
Ooh, excuse me.
Kind of doing like age appropriate, like way of talking and acting, even though she's an alien. It's still, she feels like she would have just been a teenager on Earth in the way she just acts and sounds and stuff. I love that line, too, where Clark was just like, oh, man, Jimmy's going to freak out when he learns that an alien has a crush on him.
Anyway, how about some zombies? Psalm 100, Bucket List of the Dead, Episode 10, Hometown of the Dead 1. In this episode, we're learning a bit more about all the people in this hometown.
Yep.
And everyone's interacting and having a great time, and nothing will go wrong.
So, Akira gets dreadlocks for some reason? That's on his bucket list? Okay.
Sure. Maybe don't.
Shizuka gets quote unquote indoctrinated because she has to be everyone's doctor. Everyone gets a tour of the village. We learn about the electric fence. Yeah.
Yes. This one lady like goes up to Beatrice and is like, let me show you the very plot important circuit breaker.
Yeah,
this circuit breaker is like the one thing holding up the entire plot.
Yeah. Like this goes overloaded. Something bad will happen. Hint, hint.
Did you show the circuit breaker to every single person?
No, only to the audience so that we know what to expect.
Well, the evil people knew where to find the circuit breaker.
I think they must have peeped. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
No, they probably showed it.
They probably showed it to everyone. You're right.
Yeah.
They're just that.
Like, just in case. It's just like classic Onion article. It's like, Dad wants to show you where the circuit breakers are.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dad. Like, just in case all the power goes off in the house and you need to go find the circuit breaker.
Kensho wants to become a dad to this little girl, but he talks in ways that are inappropriate.
Yes. Kensho, please don't do your standard I'm naked bit in front of the small child. Well, hello, police. Yes, this man over here.
She even said something like you're a pervert.
Yeah, but then she laughed, and it's like, haha, it's all forgiven because you smiled.
Yeah. I don't think he would actually do it, but I mean, come on.
He would not. I don't think he would.
But I mean, like, don't even say it.
Also, look over here. We have a pile of shit.
Wait, I don't remember this. What?
The literal cesspit.
Oh, the dung for the fertilizer. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's not too uncommon. But yeah, then as everyone
anyway, this is a great town. I hope we can live like this in peace and quiet forever. Oh no!
Look who it is.
Look who, oh no. Did somebody say evil bucket list?
Yep. This guy's name is Shikurashi. I also noticed in this episode, I guess I didn't notice the last time, he literally has like shark teeth.
Of course he does.
Because he's evil.
What? Because he's evil. And he's Bryce Papenbrook doing evil Aaron.
I'll tell you though, we were talking about this in the thread. Why is he so evil sounding? It's like my joke post was like, he has a voice that you want to punch. You know what I mean? Like the way he sounds, it just sounds like he sounds like a jerk. He's doing a great job here.
So him and his crew are just riding around on the backhoe, driving zombies into the village and throwing dynamite at things, and because it's like, I've always wanted to blow shit up with dynamite.
Yeah, I wrote down three of his bucket list items that get crossed off while they were causing all the mayhem. One was destroy society, which I guess is he's doing.
Okay.
The second one was blow something up with dynamite, which he does that. And then one of them was fire a real gun, which that kind of big guy was doing. He's really knocking them out.
So he and Akira declare a bucket list war.
Better than a dance battle.
Also, they knew each other from like college. And he's like, I always hated you because you were happy. He's like, that's it? Is that really it? And it's like, yes. And it's like, okay.
Okay.
All right, dude.
Pretty one-dimensional. But honestly, I don't know if I really care. Like it doesn't bother me. Like, whatever. This show's kind of goofy. I think you're just supposed to, like, take it in stride. I think last episode of our podcast, I was complaining about the show's tone. And I think after this episode, I just feel like, oh, whatever. Just have fun. Do whatever. This guy's a bad guy. He's just evil. I mean, all his minions.
But he is having fun.
Well, he's having fun. But I mean, like, as an audience member, I should just have fun. I'd be like, oh, yeah, this guy's a one-dimensional villain. Like, all his teammates.
Remind yourself, it's just a show. Yeah. I should maybe just relax.
Yeah, MST3K. But, like, he's got these, like, whatever, like, two or three other, like, people following him. And they're just as bad. I mean, they don't have any. They just want to cause evil. They're going to split up. So I think Kensho, wait, I forget who. The girl is going after Beatrix who's on a horse.
Yes, everyone splits off into their individual 1v1 fights.
Which is not something I would expect in this show. 1v1 fights. Okay.
I would expect more 1v1 fights out of One Piece. Speaking of One Piece. One Piece episode 672, The Last Light of Hope, The Secret of Our Commander. He's Kuros, next episode.
Pretty much.
Other things from this episode, Usopp going, did we just get crushed by a big duck?
And the answer is yes.
They did.
Yeah, that idiot Treble is like, I mean, at least they addressed it in this episode. Like,
Treble, did you have to destroy the entire executive tower?
Yeah. And then
by throwing a boat at it and then blowing the rest of it up.
And then he gets there, and I liked it. Like, Sugar looks at him and she literally says, "You prick." And I'm like, "Oh,
you dumb bitch."
He's like, "You prick." I'm like, "Wow, okay." And then I kind of remember that she's not as young as she looks. And then Leo, they trick Leo, of course. Leo spills all of the plan because everyone kept saying in the thread, these guys are idiots. They're not idiots. They're just gullible. They're gullible. Is there a difference? They're not like they're dumb. They just are gullible, but it's still frustrating. Because all you got to do, they don't understand the concept of lying.
This is your literal most evil and hated enemy.
But they just don't get it. They're like, oh, no one, what, a lie? What is a lie? They don't get it. So anyway, he learns a lot of them. And then Treble, I guess the goo he spews out can sometimes be explosive. And then he lights a lighter, which I also thought was weird. I don't know why, but I guess I shouldn't. It's One Piece. But like he had a Flippo lighter. I'm like, well, that's weird. Anyway, he has a Flippo lighter and he like...
I mean, how else are you going to light cigars?
Yeah, they have matches and stuff. I mean, I just... A Zippo just seemed kind of like, oh, okay, that's weird.
Trust me, we've seen much more high-tech stuff than a lighter.
I know. I kind of thought of that afterwards.
Right, why did you look at a lighter and go, what?
I don't know. I don't know. Because this world is so weird. Like, you never know what you're going to get. I don't know.
I mean, it's one thing if he whipped out like a laser gun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, toy soldier is Kuros.
Yeah, we get a long flashback to that, which was all pretty obvious.
That's cool. Excuse me. I'm sorry, One Piece is just so dull.
Well, there's not much else to say. I just said, I wrote down, he's gasp, Kuros. The most obvious thing.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 492. Only 8 more to go.
I know. We're under 10 episodes now.
I can't believe it. I can't wait to start it over all over again.
Oh, no.
Please, no. Cloud of Suspicion. In this episode, the evil villain's plan is literally revealed to be, check out these drugs.
Well, and we have to show how incredibly awesome Shikamaru is and how smart he is by having him constantly play shogi in his head.
But then his actual plans are, like, not very good.
No, he does kind of get defeated here, yeah. But before that, Sai shows up and he's like, why didn't Naruto come and get me?
Because you're not important and nobody likes you, Sai.
And that's what Shikamaru says. He's like, you were replaced or something like that. I'm like, ooh.
Like, burn. You failed in your mission as a Sasuke replacement. So yeah. Nobody cares about you anymore, Sai. Rip.
Yeah, and then bad guy Gengo, he has mind control flowers, basically. I thought it was his jutsu, but I guess it's these flowers.
Sure. You know, I liked it better when he had literal talk no jutsu.
Yeah.
Anyway, Shikamaru gets rescued by the rest of the cast showing up, which begs the question why they couldn't have just done this in the first place.
Well, not the everyone. It's just Inosuke and Temari.
It's the Inosuke Cho and future wife.
Future wife. I was thinking that. I couldn't remember. Is this who he ends up with? And I think
it is.
Yeah. Okay, I thought so. She looks really different, too.
She's got a hair thing going right now that is not working.
And we got more like Ino looking like a completely different person.
Also
different.
Fire. Also, multiple people need to fire their stylist. I apologize. I'm sorry, but
yeah. Yeah, so I think what's happening is Sai's going to, or not Sai. I said Sai. Shikamaru's going to go after Sai, and Ino, Choji, Temari are going to go after the two brainwashed teammates, the Valley Girl and the other guy, which I can't remember. What is this guy's deal?
He doesn't have one. He doesn't have a deal.
He just seems like the most bland and nondescript character.
He truly, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what his name is. I don't think he has a power. Literally, why is he here?
Yeah.
His name is Ro, and I always keep thinking, no, the girl is Ro. But yeah. No, his name is Ro, and I don't remember her name, which is weird, because otherwise she's the more interesting character.
She's the more interesting, and she's like the more powerful. Like, she has this like finger beam thing that's pretty much unstoppable.
What the fuck does this other dude do? I don't remember.
I don't know. He's just there. But he won't be for long, thankfully.
Oh, well, we'll never see him again after these next two episodes.
I was going to say, yeah, we're only two more of this
ever.
Guy, and he's going to be gone.
So that's cool.
All right, well, I think we pretty much covered
it. We'll see you guys next. We'll see you guys next week. Yeah. You know, I'll be happy to have Two Piece to speed up this section of the arc a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It's a little unfortunate we're only getting 2 weeks of it. So
maybe we will keep Two Piece after.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it, but it's possible.
Anyway, thanks, C-Caller.
No problem.
Sorry for the late, for the weird time.
No, that's fine. That's kind of neat. It's good for me, too, because I can get this episode out earlier, so.
Anyway, this is only like 30 minutes.
Well, when you have fewer people on the podcast, it goes quicker because not everyone has to get their say in, you know?
Right. And also, we're not very smart and we don't have interesting things to say. So.
I don't know. I feel pretty normal to me.
Well, at least I'm not.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Well, okay, like, before we go, I guess, anything you think is worthy of awards?
Sure, actually, yes. Sure, yes. Yes, I do. I do.
Okay, give me it.
Give me, for best moment, Kara discovers the truth.
Okay.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably too early, but Kara's kind of becoming a potential favorite character here. I don't know if she's going to be a best character, but she seems pretty well-rounded, and I like her. Maybe you have to wait a little longer to see if she turns out all right, but so far, she's really fun.
She is. Season 3 is going to be great, because it's just going to be both Clark and Kara. At least I hope it is. Going back to Superman for just a second. Waller went from zero to martial law in like 5 seconds.
Yeah,
which is not totally surprising, but.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that she's coming back next episode to kind of like be another villain. So.
Also, like, but like only in Metropolis. Like, there's a whole country?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is the whole country, and we're only seeing it from Metropolis. I'm assuming she's in charge of, like, a national thing. I've always assumed she's part of, like, the U.S., like, secret.
It should be, but for whatever reason, they only... The Metropolis is the only place that exists.
Only shown. It's the only place that's shown.
Yes.
I think you're supposed to assume it's everywhere, so... Yeah, I can't think of any other awards things. I mean, like... Nah, it's fine. Sailor Moon... I keep trying to think of something Sailor Moon related, and I can't. But...
Look. Sailor Moon is extremely episodic.
Mm-hmm.
90s show.
Yeah. Yeah, this really feels like late 80s, early 90s with the whole like aerobicize vibe that's going on here.
It is a 1992 show.
Yep. So it's like kind of pushing the limit there. But like in the 80s, late 80s, mid to late 80s, like aerobics and exercising, like that's when that really like took off, became huge. And so we're getting a little of that. And I mean, and to be fair, like Sailor Moon was an 80s manga. Like it was written in the 80s. So makes sense.
Anyway, that'll do it. Thank you very much, C. Kohler.
No problem.
I am so sleepy.
Well, let's get out of here.
Yay. See you guys next week. Bye. Later.